This is Rusty Tanton.
And Amber Ray.
You're listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network, the show that puts the balls in your mouth. In this episode, Amber talks to Matthew Cardinale, editor of Atlanta Progressive News, and Sarah Epting, writer and web designer of the same.
This is Amber Ray, and I am sitting at Caribou Coffee in Midtown, and I'm going to talk to some of the brains behind Atlanta Progressive News. So why don't you both just introduce yourself real quick?
Matthew Cardinale, editor.
Sarah Epting, development director.
All right, cool. Well, first of all, I guess just tell us a little bit about what Atlanta Progressive News is.
Well, we are Atlanta's new service covering issues of concern to working families and the working poor. And we have been online for a few months, since November, and we're going to be going into print really soon.
And you're the developer, so what was your involvement with all this? Did you kind of build it from the ground up, or?
Well, we just revamped the website, and I redesigned the website, and working with Matthew to try to sell ads and get our name out there, and I write some stories as well. My background is in journalism, so.
Okay, so you do writing too. You kind of do it all then.
Yes.
How many writers does the site have?
News writers, there's only four of us, me and Sarah. We also have Jonathan Springsteen, former Georgia State University student and graduate. And Betty Claremont, but we're all volunteers. In fact, some of us are spending money. So, and then we have some opinion writers, including local activist Robert Soloway.
Do you write on a regular basis?
Yeah, I mean, we post stories, you know, as they come up. So that's the neat thing about the online portion is that, you know, we can post a story, you know, every day or every few days. And then what's going to happen with the print edition is that the print edition is going to kind of take the best of or an updated version of what we've been covering over the last month.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I was going to ask what are some of your goals for the print edition? Like, how often do you see that coming out? And, you know, just what kind of circulation do you anticipate?
Yeah, well, we're going to be a street newspaper, which is, you know, something that actually exists internationally. We're going to be part of this international network of street newspapers, which, shockingly enough, Atlanta doesn't have. We're going to be empowering homeless people to sell the paper in public places for a dollar, and then they keep 50 cents out of that dollar. And
oh, okay.
So, yeah, so what's neat about that is that that's going to give them a legitimate revenue source, and we're going to be getting them involved in the paper by partnering with the Metro Atlanta Task Force for the Homeless, trying to get them involved in as many aspects of the paper as they want to be. For our first issue, which is going to be a March-April issue, whatever's left of March by the time it comes out, and April, that's going to be our first issue, which will be bi-monthly, and we're going to start by printing, I think, 3,000 copies, and see how that goes. Eventually, I'd like to get to the point where we're bi-weekly or even a weekly publication.
What is your background, then? Have you done independent newspapers before?
Well, my background, actually, you may know this, but I'm from New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
So I came here as a result of Hurricane Katrina in October, and I had been planning on starting what was going to be New Orleans Street News in New Orleans, but I just don't feel that that's really the place to make an investment right now,
yeah.
A small business investment, when I don't have all the resources in the world.
Right.
So I'm here, and, you know, Atlanta needs a street newspaper. But my background, I mean, I interned with the Sun Sentinel when I was in high school, and I went on to write for, you know, my college newspapers and stuff. But my kind of news junkiness, you know, came to be more around over the last couple years, starting to write for online news services like BuzzFlash.com. I've contributed for them. Raw Story, you know, Common Dreams, Alternate, Truth Out. And it's just been amazing how the advent of those sites and partnered with Google News has really just changed the whole way people get news. And so being part of that and seeing how successful some of those sites have been, I said, well, we need to do that on a local level and you know, involve homeless people in the distribution process. So, you know, I also have an activist background, which, you know, I have a lot of experiences, you know, putting a lot of energy into organizing and trying to get people involved in advocacy and finding that, well, no one's covering what we're doing. No one even knows about the efforts that we're, you know, doing. So what I realized was that we needed to take a step back and create that media infrastructure so that all the activists who work so hard will you know, have people be aware of what they're doing. And Sarah has also an interesting background.
Yeah, how did you become involved with this?
Well, it's interesting. I was involved with Democracy for America in Georgia.
Oh, I've done some work with them.
Democracy. Mm-hmm. So I had gone to some DFA meetings and meetups, and I had been looking for a job in the summer and interviewed and wrote an article that I didn't get published, but it was for an interview process that I was writing an article about No Child Left Behind and a military recruitment policy that's within that bill. And the person that I interviewed, Susan Keith, and she's also in charge of the Decatur meetup for Democracy for America. She emailed me when Matthew was going to be coming to one of their meetings and said, you know, if you want to write for a progressive publication. And I have a journalism degree, but mostly I've only been writing features and fluff pieces, but I have a political and progressive mindset and passion, and so I'm running full steam ahead.
Cool.
With this.
I guess the thing about the street newspaper concept, that's pretty interesting. I didn't know that that's what the print version of this was going to be. I've seen people doing that in New York City.
Yes.
Homeless people selling papers. I don't know if you know at all about the panhandling ordinance that they have here.
Right.
Do you think that that's going to affect your goals with this at all?
Well, what we're proposing and planning is not panhandling. It's actually vending. And so you may have seen the AJC does this. They have their street vendors out there.
Yeah.
And according to the city ordinances, it actually explicitly states that you don't need any kind of permit to sell newspapers in public places at large, which is what we're going to be doing. And, you know, we are, you know, at least our editorial policy is opposed to the panhandling ordinance. We did a story on a report by the National Coalition of the Homeless, which found that actually Atlanta taking part in this unconscionable ban, which infringes on the free speech rights of homeless people, that has actually led to mayors of other cities, you know, following Atlanta's lead. So we did do a story on that. We are, you know, concerned about that policy. We'll be covering that policy. But the good news is the vending process will give the homeless people a legitimate revenue source. So instead of, you know, asking for money for food or cigarettes or whatever they're asking money for, you know, MARTA tokens, which is illegal, you know, now in certain parts of the city, which is ridiculous, but it is. This is going to be different. You know, they're going to be selling copies of the newspaper, and it's not going to be, you know, a free-for-all either. Our vendors are going to go through a training process. They're going to be wearing T-shirts. They're going to, you know, be, you know, professional about it. So any concerns that people have about aggressive, you know, soliciting is not something that our vendors are going to be doing.
Cool. Yeah, I just wondered about that when you started saying that, like, you know, are the cops going to come harass them or, you know, if they don't know what's up? But I guess they are going to know what's up.
If they do, we'll cover it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Don't harass a newspaper because they'll write a story about it. So what are your goals?
I'm sorry, can I ask? I mean, yeah. So you get our emails. So, I mean, are there certain stories that have caught your eye? Or, I mean, what do you... think about our stories.
I saw the Madhousers one, and that was interesting because I'd heard of them before, but I don't remember how now. I'd heard of them before, and I was like, well, that's a weird thing that they're doing. That's a weird concept. But then, you know, I didn't really hear much more about it aside from there are these people that build shacks for homeless people. And then it was good to actually read a little more about it. And actually, you know, my geek roots come out here, because what really caught my attention was the email about the site redesign, and so I was interested to hear about your goals with the site redesign, and what, you know, if you have any further goals for expansion of the site.
Well, want to have enable some ability to first person to come onto the site and then sign on to our email list. That's some functionality which I'm going to learn how to add on. Right now I have design expertise in HTML and CSS, but not so much the back coding end, back end, Cold Fusion or PHP or something like that. Yeah. So
we're going to be putting a PayPal button on there for donations.
Yeah, so we'll have a PayPal button for donations. And
hint, hint.
And just hopefully more interaction, definitely trying to put up more ads on the site, and more interactivity is the goal. But wanted to get the whole basic site up before we wrote any more stories, because it just kept compiling, and, oh, you have another story, okay, I have to add it to the site now that I'm revamping. And so now that it's up and running, it's going to be easier to make some of these changes and try to add cool little features.
Had you seen the old site?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, that's okay. It was very... it was very...
I hope you'll forgive me.
Oh, yes. It was very, template-ish. I mean, I created it with the, you know, Network Solutions, you know, Image Cafe thing. So it was like, text box goes here, you know?
And right. And there was also some of the flow of it was hard to follow. Mm-hmm. My opinion.
Yeah. And there were these frames that weren't even necessary, and
oh god, not frames.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, that was the template was in three frames.
Oh,
so
Lord.
They had a header and a footer, and so that part wouldn't be changed.
Well, this is clearly better.
It is so much better. You know, and you know, now we have places to accommodate our advertisers, and we have two advertisers now. Mm-hmm. And you know, I want us to be indexed on Google News, and you know, one thing that I mean, I'm not very good with web design, so I'm very happy that Sarah was able to get involved in this. But one thing I have become kind of obsessed with is our web traffic,
which I'm able
to monitor pretty easily. we've been doing, it's really incredible. We've had about 750,000 hits in the 3 months that we've been on the internet. And a lot of that traffic is actually coming from national liberal blogs that pick up on our stories.
Oh, okay.
You know, and then of course we have the local people who are on our email list and stuff. But, in terms of, are you familiar with Alexa ranking?
Yeah.
So our Alexa ranking right now is like 129,000, which makes us already the fourth most popular Atlanta news service in terms of web traffic.
Very cool.
So it goes AJC, Atlanta Daily World, Creative Loafing is third, and we're coming on up right behind them. And then we're fourth. So it's kind of like, well, you know, wow. We've only been here 3 months.
What have y'all done to get the word out? Or has it all just been kind of Google picking you up?
Well, we get syndicated on some other websites that do that do get Googled. Mm-hmm. And so there's the syndication. There is, you know, like I said, the blogs. There's our email list. And so, you know, that's pretty much about it.
And then footwork at liberal functions.
Right.
Yeah.
Old-fashioned way.
But that's not as much. I don't think that's causing as much traffic
well,
as
it
the
counts,
syndication
you know.
Of the stories, the national blogs.
Well, speaking of blogs, I guess, finally, do y'all foresee yourselves, doing anything with blogging on the site, like incorporating it into the site at all?
No.
I know I read on there that you had a thing about specifically this site is not a blog, here's how it's not a blog.
But, oh, you saw that.
So, in terms of interactivity then, is that's not an area where you're going to go or...
Well, I mean, maybe in a couple years that might be something we want
to... I know it's early. I don't mean to be like, do this.
No, but right now we're trying to be a legitimate newspaper and not...
Definitely.
Not confused with a blog. And especially
right.
when you're only online, you don't want to be confused with a blog because mm-hmm. that is geared more towards people's opinion and commentary and reposting of stories like the ones we post.
Yeah.
And not as much, you know... real journalism.
And there is a lot of confusion. I think a lot of blogs bleeding into everything else. Where I used to work, there were some people who, I don't know, they heard about blogs and thought that suddenly everything had to be a blog. You know,
yeah.
They were like, well, we can make our frequently asked questions into a blog. No, that's your frequently asked questions. That doesn't need to be a blog.
Yeah,
so
there's ways to utilize blogs and marketing for companies, but it's
yeah.
not necessarily where news service should be. That's
yeah.
kind of our take on it.
I mean, and we get tips from blogs. Like
yeah.
we take tips directly from Blog for Democracy. I think we've done that at least one or two times. Where, you know, someone will go, oh my God, Ruthie Levy's car was vandalized, and then here's a photo of it, and oh my gosh, here's her website, you know?
Yeah.
And then we did, like, a whole story on that, and we did the same thing with some stuff from indie media. And so, you know, we're going to put up some links, so we'll be linking to blogs that we like.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, we're not, you know, envisioning having blog features on the site, no.
Are you going to have RSS, though? Just as a geek, I have to ask that.
Oh, Shelby told us about that. Yeah, we need to do that, yeah.
Well,
I'm sure you'll...
I mean, yeah, we could yeah. do an RSS feed. We just have to pick where we want it to come from.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if that's editable or not. I have to learn more about
well,
that
no way to learn,
feature.
Like, actually doing it, you know?
Right.
I know that. Well, the site looks great. I've, you know, after I got a couple of emails, you know, especially after I got the email about the redesign, I started reading it, and it's very cool, and y'all are selling advertising, right? So
absolutely.
Tell everybody listening that you're selling advertising.
Our rates yes. are so low. They're just gorgeous. Yes.
Cool.
Right. So.
Well, thanks for talking to me, y'all.
Thank you.
You can visit Atlanta Progressive News at atlantaprogressivenews.com.
Thanks for listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network. Visit us at gapodcastnetwork.com. If you know a Georgia band or a hippie with a guitar that would like to have their music featured in a podcast, have them contact us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com. This way, the ending of the shows won't seem so abrupt.